Do note that the views expressed in Thinking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Thinking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews.
Welcome back to Thinking It Through, and we continue with a relevant study of the Book of Revelation in a fireside chat with Dr. Gregory Denation, resident minister at Juvenati Mission, as he responds to your questions on the Book of Revelation. Here's Dr. Denation in part four of Understanding the Times. Your right hand is about work and yes. What you're doing, yes. And your forehead is about thought. So whenever people bring up this debate about the mark of the beast, I don't say it as eloquently as you did, but I normally just say to them, listen, guys, we are already slaves through our actions and through our thoughts.
Yes, yes.
Who cares about the mark that we're all looking for? Yes. We have already been marked through our actions and our thoughts.
In fact, looking for the mark could be a distraction so that the enemy can quietly do his work while we are unaware of it, carrying the mask, and we're so scared of a chip that's going to be injected between our thumb and our forefinger. Let me be gracious and kind. We are unenlightened and unaware of the subtlety of the enemy's operation. Paul said, we are not ignorant of the devil's schemes, but it seems we are. And he's sending up a decoy. It's like the little bird who pretends that it's wounded and it's hobbling along while the fox comes and goes after the bird because the nest is left. Well, you won't harm the little chicks that are in the nest because the mother is feigning that it is wounded. Now, the devil says, throw all your attention to what the media are saying and people are saying and what speculation is going on so I can quietly coach you to behave like a little God because you think you are a little God. And that's the danger.
I think without going too much into it, we can say over the last 3 years, we've seen quite a bit of our actions and thoughts being muzzled.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But isn't it funny how the Book of Revelation, which is supposed to be a revelation that enlightens you, has actually caused so much division, has caused so much confusion?
I suspect that's because the devil knows the power that's in this book, what it contains, the revelation that it is, and how it exposes his workings and his dark dealings in this world. If you understand this book very well, he would not be able to get away with what he's getting away because the Christians will be in a position to deal with it. But I'm afraid they're asleep.
So we could say that the devil has actually used Revelation to divide the church instead of bringing it together.
Well, because it's a threat to him. He knew he's got to do something with this book because it creates him a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. He doesn't want the believers to know what's written here. So if he can confuse them, let them come up with all kinds of weird theories and ideas because they don't understand the nature of this material, then they will be running around fighting one another, as you say, and miss the whole point.
Pastor Greg, is the Book of Revelations telling us about what's going to happen in the end times on earth, or is it telling us about the spiritual realm, what's happening in the spiritual realm?
Very, very important question. The Book of Revelation is actually divided into two acts, Act 1 and Act 2. We've already said that it's a drama. So you have the stage, you have the actors on the stage, you have the decor, you have the scenes unfolding as the curtain opens and closes the seven times, the seven scenes. But if we suppose we're sitting in a theater and we have come to see this drama, the drama of human redemption, that's the theme. And somebody runs up, a youngster with a notice board, and he holds up the board, Act 1, Scene 1, the curtain opens and we see the whole scenario unfolding. Then the curtain closes after the first scene and opens again, Scene 2. And then we see what happens. The decor has changed, the scenario has changed, it's quite different now. And then it closes again. And when it opens, it's Scene 3. After Scene 3, when the curtains close, the lights come on, a board appears, intermission, and we get up, we go and buy our popcorn and our Coca-Cola, and we discuss in the foyer the amazing things we've just seen what had unfolded before us. Then the bell rings, the lights dim on and off, and it's a signal, let's take our seats, the next act is going to come. So chapter 1 to chapter 11 in the book of Revelation is act 1. Chapter 12 to chapter 22 is act 2. So act 1, when the curtain opens, you find John telling us he's on the island of Patmos. This is a real geographical reality. He sees the seven churches, he mentions them, Laodicea, Philadelphia, Sardis, Ephesus, Pergamum, Smyrna, they all mentioned there. These are real places. And there's a letter written to these churches. So it tells you this is the earthly existence of the church and the events in the life of the church as it unfolds over Christian history. But when you come to Act 2, when the curtain closes after Act 1, end of chapter 11, suddenly it's a whole new scenario. Chapter 12 opens up by saying, a great and wondrous sign appeared. Where? In heaven, not on earth. A woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and so on. So suddenly, the scenario changed. It moved from terra firma, the practical church in this world, it moved now to, wow, what we see in space. This is a dragon appearing in the sky, a woman about to give birth, clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, the 12 stars as a crown. It's all happening in the heavenly realm. So Act 1 deals with the earthly realm. Act 2 deals with the heavenly realm. Now, how does that apply? So from chapter 1 to chapter 11, we are given an earthly perspective of the whole history of the church from the first coming of Jesus to his second coming. So when chapter 11 ends, we can say we have seen the whole Christian era, the whole time of the Christian faith as it's worked out in this world. But what do we see? We see the church as a small entity surrounded by a very hostile, aggressive enemy, the secular state, and there's war going on. It's a physical war. There's a battle for survival. The church is a small minority surrounded by a hostile majority, but it survives. Why? Because God is the Lord of the church and he protects the church. That's a wonderful message for people living in Roman times to hear. Now, when you come to Act 2, 12 to 22, the same history is unfolded. But this time, we get a bird's eye view of what happened. God is now explaining to his church the reason why there was this physical clash and persecution on earth is because there was this war, the spiritual war that was waging in heaven. So we get a heavenly perspective. There's an interpretation of what were the forces behind the physical events that were unfolding while the church was struggling and battling through life in this world. So it's like giving a spiritual, heavenly insight into what was unfolding. I'm not sure if that answers the question.
Pastor Greg, is the book of Revelations a prediction of future events?
That's a difficult question to answer. It's a good question because, biblically speaking, there's no fortune telling in the scriptures. But when you look at the principles, then you would expect that human nature will always function the way it functions as a matter of principle. And God will always act the way that he's acting as a matter of principle. So if you look at the principles, then it's predictable that evil will implode upon itself. Evil cannot ultimately triumph. Evil has got the seeds of its own destruction contained in itself. So that's a principle. wickedness cannot ultimately succeed. Now, if that principle is understood, then you know what the future holds, that the darkness is going to be overcome, Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire, evil will be eradicated, there will be no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering anymore, like that. That is predictable. So in that sense, yes, there is prediction in the book of Revelation, but it's principles. When it comes to specifics, and we start to analyze those creatures that we see as, you know, certain forms of armament like missiles and rockets and stuff like that, as if this was a prediction technically of specific items, then we are going to go astray. Then we are going to get caught in a quagmire of discrepancies and all kinds of things that will happen. If we know that ultimately God will triumph, that he's going to sit on his throne and he's going to conquer all the evil, that's predictable. So we can predict, yes, it's going to be like that, because righteousness will ultimately triumph and will reign supreme. We can pick that up right from the beginning to the end, and that brings hope to the believer and encouragement in the time of dire straits.
Yeah, I suppose the difference is it's not that it's a prediction that might not happen. It's an absolute certainty. Due to a method that we've looked at to say yes, that's going to happen. Yes. So it's not a thumbsuck like you said earlier.
Yeah. If it had to be something, prediction about specifics, then you get caught out when it doesn't happen, because it can change. But when it's principles, established principles, those principles are eternal because they're based on truth. So they cannot be negotiated.
How should we respond to the message of Revelations? Should it cause us to sort of hide from secular society and move into our own box? Or what is the appropriate response to the message of this book?
You know, they asked Martin Luther, what would he do if he knew for sure the Lord was coming tomorrow? He said, well, I'd quickly go out and plant an apple tree. In other words, the true Christian is never one who wants to escape from hard or difficult situations. We don't believe in the monastery kind of existence where you go and exclude yourself living on an island somewhere where you can be a holy Joe and escape all kinds of antagonism, but also defilement from the secular system. The message is very clear that when the Son of Man was walking amongst the seven golden lampstands, those golden lampstands were placed in very specific areas in Asia Minor, present Turkey today. So those names were not in the sky, like you see in chapter 12 of Revelation. They were on terra firma in the real world. And if you look at the issues that arose in each one of those letters, you will see that the church was battling a very real enemy. The struggle was real. That doesn't speak of escapism. It doesn't speak of withdrawal. It means that we become a shining light in the darkness. The fact that he's walking among seven golden lampstands, verse 12 of chapter 1, I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. These were shining lights, the lights that they had in those days. That's what gave them light. So the light was shining. But before he said this, before he had heard a voice, you see, in verse 10, on the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it where? To the seven churches, right? Where? Ephesus. Wow. Ephesus.
That was Dr. Gregory Donation in part 4 of Understanding the Times, a relevant study of the book of Revelation. To listen to Thinking It Through at any time, go to the Play Store or iTunes Store and search for GNCR 93.6. Install our app, go to podcasts, and open up the Thinking It Through section. Send us any questions you have about the book of Revelation to the email address that will be given at the end of this program. Don't miss part 5, same time tomorrow.
If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za. You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statements, and more at gncr.org.za.